Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. The one and the only, the man, the myth, and the legend, the inimitable, Dr. Mayor Edward Lee is with us today. How are you, Eddie?
I'm doing fine. And it's always good to see you. And we sit here on a Friday afternoon and we're waiting for Florence to join us.
We are.
Hurricane Florence will join us sometime in the next 24 hours.
Matter of fact, you were kind enough to bring me the latest updated weather report that you got from Duke Energy. Bottom line is it's headed our way. It's going to kind of curl around York County, the western part of the county. It's going to curl around Charlotte. And by the time it gets here, according to this estimate, it'll be a strong tropical storm with a ton of rain and still moving very, very slowly.
Right.
So how are you gearing up for all this in downtown York?
Well, our city folks have been preparing for Florence's arrival for about a week and a half. As soon as we realized that we had a storm brewing in the Atlantic, we started doing what we do for every hurricane that comes our way. We get ready. Our police officers, our first responders, our public works people have been practicing and preparing. And for the last week and a half, and I'm sure that's true in the other municipalities of York County, we've been in touch with the emergency preparedness folks and the emergency management folks here in York County. And I got a call yesterday from Congressman Ralph Norman, and he said he would be available to us if we need federal assistance. And so what we do is we get ready. And yesterday we were cleaning out storm drains to make sure we hadn't left any of those untended to, and the police were gassing up their police cars, and the first responders were getting ready to rescue people if we needed to. So we said a prayer this morning, and we're ready.
We're ready. You know, York has so many beautiful old structures, and you have a lot of big, beautiful old trees. And when you get a storm like this with a lot of rain, and if they're, I mean, even if they're halfway right, and you get 6 or 8 inches of rain versus 10 or 15 that they're predicting, that, you know, that has a tendency to loosen root balls, and then you get some high wind to go with it. And
and you know, you asked me about what we were doing. What I was doing early this morning at 8 o'clock is I was signing an agreement with FEMA that they would help us get the debris of the trees carried away after the storm. So we're preparing for the storm. We'll make our way through the storm, hopefully safely. And then also we'll clean up after the storm. So I was signing that agreement with that federal agency, FEMA, early this morning to make sure that we are ready.
Yeah. And I guess that's all you can do is be prepped. And, you know, throughout the course of the year, if people pay any attention to the news at all, you know that all of the first responders throughout your county are working in conjunction with emergency management. And they've got plans for everything under the sun. I mean, it's amazing. If you've ever been into that war room that they have, how many scenarios they have practiced for. And this is one that's been around for a long time, which is hurricanes. Mm-hmm. And they learned so many lessons from 1989 when Hurricane Hugo, and you were here for that just like I was, right?
I certainly was. We remember Hugo. Hugo is the benchmark that we all kind of measure other storms that have come too, and we remember 1989, and so we're preparing for Florence, and Florence will join us in the next 24 hours.
All right, so we're glad to hear that you all are well prepared, and of course we will be staying in touch with you throughout the course of the weekend to offer whatever assistance we can over the air to get the message out to your constituents. All right, on another bright topic, speaking of storms, you went right into the eye of the storm here recently down to Washington, D.C., did you not?
Well, I did, Manning, and I was at the White House the day after the op-ed piece was published in the New York Times, and I was part of a group of 100 elected officials, local government officials from South Carolina, and we had been invited to the White House. And so we arrived on the 6th of September, which was last Thursday, and there was a storm there, of course, not Florence, but there was a storm. The purpose was to talk about matters of importance to local government. But the political storm outside the White House, you know, you can't ignore that. So there are other things going on. But I would say this about local government. You know, local government a lot of times doesn't get a seat at the table. Local government people are not even invited into the room. And this time we were not only there, we were in the White House. And so it was very memorable, and I got a chance to participate in briefings from Mick Mulvaney, who is the director of the Office of Management and Budget.
Right.
He's someone who you know and your listeners know, and we all know. He was our U.S. House member for a while before he became that director. And also Kellyanne Conway, special counselor to the president. She briefed us, and we talked with her. And Mick Zayas, who a lot of people kind of maybe lost touch with after he left as superintendent of education here in South Carolina, but he's the assistant secretary of education in the Trump administration. And also we had the assistant press secretary there. And so we received briefings on things like press relations, infrastructure, budgetary matters. I was there for 6 hours, and I kind of felt like it was very beneficial, because the last thing I got right before I left to board a plane to come back to Charlotte and come back home, I got a list of contacts, names, phone numbers, and email addresses for people in their professional bureaucrats who are in various federal agencies, and EPA would be one, FEMA would be another one. And when I was handed that sheet with those contacts, I thought, well, FEMA, I'll probably have to file this away. I won't have to use it for a while. Well, you know, I'm going to have to use it tomorrow. So I've got those names and email addresses, and that was very helpful, and I'm really grateful that I got that. But we got a chance to hear about other things, too.
So who organized this trip? I mean, there's apparently 100 of you that went down.
Yeah, there were 100 of us, the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs in the White House. Huh. And what we did was we met at the White House, and I spent 6 hours on the 6th of September in the White House. And I must tell you, Manning, as a historian, I mean, that's almost kind of one of those moments. And, you know, it's almost priceless when you walk in to the East Room and you stand there, and the East Room has that big picture of Theodore Roosevelt. And then on the other side of the East Room, it has George Washington. That picture of George Washington is the one that back in 1814, Dolly Madison decided that as the White House was being burned by British troops during that war, that she was going to slice it out of the frame, and she was going to put it under her arms, and she was going to raise her chin, and she was going to walk out of the White House. She was going to save that portrait. So it's been saved, and it's in the East Room. So I got a chance to see some of the historical things that we cherish as Americans.
Now, before you ever got to the East Room, tell me what the security was like. What did you have to go through to prove to them that you were, in fact, Dr. Edward Lee, and that you are a history professor and a mayor?
Well, that's a good question. I had to prove that before I got a chance to even go. And when I got the invitation from the White House to come for that series of briefings, I had to fill out some information about my background, and that information had to be sent. The Secret Service had to look through that, and the Secret Service had to make sure that I was who I said I was. My first name is Joseph, and they cautioned me. They wanted me to make sure that I used my real legal name.
Right.
And so Eddie or Edward is what people call me, but it's Joseph Edward. And so I had to be Joseph Edward Lee, and I had to be checked out thoroughly by the Secret Service before I went to Washington. And then when I got to the White House, I must have shown my ID maybe 20 times.
Really?
20 times.
How many times do you have to empty your pockets?
Well, I had to do that at the airport on the way home, and we've all had to do that. And I had to take my shoes off, and I had to take my coat off.
And your belt.
And my belt, and you know how that is. But there is tremendous security on the whole campus of the White House.
Yeah. And very visible security.
Yes, yes.
I mean, if you look, you'll see people up there on the rooftops.
Right.
Yeah.
They were there.
And what you can't see from the ground is they also have surface-to-air missiles up there to take down anything that might decide it wants to pierce that veil.
But you can breathe the history there. And so I mentioned the George Washington portrait that Dolly Madison made sure she got out securely from the White House in 1814. And you walk in and you think about Theodore Roosevelt's two young sons who used to send ponies up the elevator, and you saw the elevator that went to the top floor, and you think about those young Roosevelt boys, you know, sending ponies up to the top floor of the White House, and you think about Alice Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's daughter, sneaking out on the roof and smoking cigarettes. And so, you know, it's just that type of magnificent structure.
Did you get the chance to go up to the dome that they have redone? I mean, was it the Capitol building? They redid the whole dome?
Well, I stayed at the White House.
You stayed at the White House.
I stayed
House,
at the White House the whole time. Right. I felt like that 6 hours there, since I'd be coming back so I could be able to teach the next day, you know, at Winthrop, I didn't miss any classes. I taught Wednesday night, and I got up early and flew in the darkness Thursday morning and flew back in the darkness Thursday night. I stayed at the White House. Now, some of the folks that were there with me, they did meander off the campus, but you know, I was able to take a real thorough tour of the White House.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to probably see about everything that I could have wanted to see in the White House, including the state dining room. I looked out the window of the state dining room, and you know, you look off in the distance and there's the Washington Monument. I mean, this is where we come from.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, one of the things that Congressman Norman always tells people is come to Washington. His wife, Elaine, loves doing these tours, and apparently is pretty good at doing it. And those who have come back and taken advantage of that offer say it's something you don't want to miss. It is absolutely wonderful.
Well, he and I were college classmates. We graduated from Presbyterian College the same time, same class, and we've been friends for a long time. And he always says that. He always invites people to come to Washington, and that he will make sure there's a tour. And I must say, I told him yesterday when we were talking about Hurricane Florence, that how helpful his staff has been. Certainly his staff people were helpful to me, and they made sure that I got where I was supposed to get, and that I was able to get to the airport to get out of Washington that Thursday night. You know, he has a first-class staff, and he does mean that he wants constituents to come and look at those historical treasures, and so I appreciate that.
Well, for somebody who is in the profession that you're in, which is history, and teaching America's future about the value of history, this was this must have been like manna from heaven for
you. Well, you know, Manning, you walk in and you think about the first lady that lived there. The first lady was Abigail Adams, and you think about how when she moved in, it wasn't even finished, and that she used to hang up her laundry there to dry in the entranceway. And, you know, she called the White House a house for the ages, and certainly it's a house for the ages. And I thoroughly enjoyed the 6 hours. I was glad to bring things home that maybe we can use, not just in the storm, but also, you know, for other things that we need from the federal government.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Eddie. I mean, yes, you've got some nice contact information, emails and phone numbers, all that kind of stuff. And you're right. You'll be able to call the FEMA guy and have your conversation about what they can do to help you with the debris removal once the storm is through. But if you had to put your fingers on one or two other things that were of value for you to take that time, what would they be?
Well, former Congressman Mulvaney, who is the director of the Office of Management and Budget, talked about the federal budget. The federal budget, there will be a federal budget by the end of the month, and I know they're cutting it close, but they always cut it close. The city of York passed our budget. You know, we have the same fiscal year as the federal government. We passed it weeks ago, but the federal government stumbles toward voting for a budget, but they will pass a budget by the end of the month. But we talked about infrastructure. Infrastructure is real important, and we asked him the question about what happened to the infrastructure bill that President Trump wanted, roads, sewer projects, water projects. And I think all of us were disappointed to hear that there wouldn't be an infrastructure bill anytime soon. And the reason is the disagreement between the executive branch and the legislative branch. They don't get along. They don't have common ground. And that's the reality of politics to 2018. Somehow we got to get beyond that, because we need infrastructure money and we need infrastructure projects. And so there won't be an infrastructure bill, and I learned that from Mick Mulvaney. He said that there wouldn't be one after the midterm election. There wouldn't be one anytime soon. So that was kind of important, and it was disappointing, but you need to know the reality of the situation.
All of you were elected leaders who were down there.
Yes.
So did anybody, I guess, have the courage to ask the question, what is it going to take for you all to start getting along and doing the nation's business?
Well, the assistant press secretary, who was one of the people who briefed us, and he talked about press relations, he was asked, you know, well, why does the president tweet so much? And I thought the answer was interesting. He said that President Trump feels that tweeting is the way for him to go directly to the American people, and that it was a modern form of communication, and that certain networks aren't fair to him, he thinks. Certain media outlets are biased toward him, he thinks, and so he tweets. And I would say, after hearing the assistant press secretary, President Trump will continue to tweet.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'd love to do a straight talk show with him. I really would. Just one-on-one. I don't think there's any question he's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy, and what I admire, I've been working on the storm preparation for about a week and a half. Our city manager, Lisa Wallace, has been working on it for about a week and a half. Our department heads have been working on it, getting ready. And, you know, we're all kind of like keyed up. It looks like President Trump has tremendous energy. He just never winds down. And I can appreciate that, because government is not something where you can kind of say, I think I'll take a couple of weeks and do absolutely nothing. There's no such thing. You don't go on vacation, because you always have to anticipate and prepare for things like Hurricane Florence.
Yeah, every story you hear about him, that's a universal observation, that he has an incredible amount of energy. He just goes, sleeps very little at night, always looks radiant and ready to go, and he must be a very interesting and a challenging personality to work with.
And, you know, Manny, one quick thing about that. When he was at Winthrop University in January of 2016 out at the Coliseum, and you were there and I was there and a lot of people were there, 6,000-plus people were there, you kind of got a chance to see a preview of that night. He spoke and he spoke and he spoke, and he had no notes and he had no teleprompter, and he just kept speaking. He's the same type of person now. And, you know, he's 72 years old. Let's not forget that.
That's not the end of the world.
No.
The thing that really impressed me about him, and I've said this before, he sent an advance crew to see where he was going to be speaking. And the Coliseum's a beautiful building, holds a lot of people, but it doesn't have a very good sound system, right? Well, that didn't bother Trump. He had his people put in a sound system for that event that was absolutely beautiful. It worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing was choreographed. You know, once the people all were in there and the fire marshal shut the doors, you remember that. They had 7,000 people in there and 2,000 more outside waiting to get in. So they shut the doors. Then the whole Coliseum goes black. And then up on the video boards comes that two-minute introduction by his daughter, Ivanka. Mm-hmm. And then once that's finished, boom, the house lights come up. Mm-hmm. And who comes out from behind the curtain? The Trump. I mean, the whole thing was just choreographed.
You know, and I was there with a dear friend that night, and I was there with 7,000 other people, 6,000, 7,000 other people, most of whom I didn't know.
That's right.
But, you know, there were 2,000, as you said, standing outside. So, you know, we're living in a different era. Speaking of the White House, I got a chance to go to the White House in 1980. The Iranian hostage situation was going on, and that was a totally different experience. I enjoyed the one last week, the visit to the White House, far more. I guess that, you know, I'm more mature now, and I've been able to kind of like learn a lot of things, and I've been able to think about Abigail Adams and Dolly Madison and Theodore Roosevelt, and, you know, I've been able to think about, you know, other people who have lived there and the resignation of Richard Nixon there in that East Room in 1974. So I guess I understand history maybe a little bit better now.
Yeah, well, that's a very good perspective. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. And there's only one way to do it. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
The reason people keep coming back to Substation 2 for lunch and dinner has to do with the word fresh. Right, Alex Ruffalo?
They can come in and see all their meats, cheeses, and veggies sliced right before their very eyes. None of this wax paper slap nonsense.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Trying to find your happy place? Look no further than Founders Federal Credit Union. Whether you need a quick getaway or a relaxing stay at a beach resort, a vacation loan from Founders can make it happen. With great terms and a low rate, you can focus more on spending time with your family and less on your budget. Apply online at foundersfcu.com/vacation, by phone at 800-845-1614, or at one of our convenient locations. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. UA.
Gamboria Medical Alert.
It was important that my siblings and I recognized that Dad wanted to be independent, but we also wanted to be able to make sure that he was okay. So we started researching medical alert systems. Then we found this system. It's a little button that he can wear around his neck as a pendant or on his belt. He speaks directly into it, just like he's talking on a cordless phone.
But my kids and grandkids are the most important thing in the world to me. I don't like to ask for help, but it is nice to know that if I ever need it, it's just a touch of a button away.
For complete details, go online to GamboriaAlert.com.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Eddie Lee is with us, the mayor of York, and we're kind of all over the place, but we got his mayor's hat on today. He was one of a group of 100 that went down to Washington here recently as part of South Carolina Day. He had a chance to rub elbows with all the power structure down there. Here's a question for a good historian. Okay. What is it about South Carolina? It seems to make us, we're a tiny state relatively compared to the rest of the nation, but we seem to be a pretty powerful state as far as politics are concerned. I mean, obviously we have our congressman, but we got Mick Mulvaney, who's in there as the OMB director, and who am I missing? I'm just drawing a blank.
Mick Zayas, who we just talked about, who was the state superintendent of education, and he's now the deputy superintendent of education at the federal level. Right. We've got the assistant press secretary, who is from Charleston. He met with us.
Yeah.
We've got Nikki Haley, who is at the UN.
So
we got Governor McMaster, who would not be Governor McMaster if it had not been for, you know, President Trump taking Nikki Haley to New York.
And you look at Lindsey Graham. Now, yes. Lindsey Graham and Trump started off like a dog and a cat. No. But now they seem to be good buddies, and they're playing golf together.
And there's been some stuff written about that in the last few days, and certainly that seems to be happening.
But, you know, Eddie, it's amazing to me that there's hardly a Sunday morning that goes by where either Nikki Haley or Mick Mulvaney or Lindsey Graham aren't on there being interviewed. And we're just a tiny little state.
Yeah.
What is it about South Carolina that makes us so important?
Well, you know, South Carolina from the very beginning, before the Civil War, Charleston was the fourth largest city in America. We had a population of 16,000 people in Charleston heading into the Civil War. Charleston has always been a very important city. And then the Civil War occurred, but, you know, South Carolina kind of clawed its way back. And then we had people elected to office who would amass tremendous power. Strom Thurmond comes to mind as the most obvious.
Sure.
So we had influence. And if you think about Lindsey Graham now has been there since Senator Thurmond died, and Lindsey Graham has tremendous influence.
Tim Scott. A young member of the United States Senate. He's getting a lot of play.
So, you know, I think we have influence, and I'm real happy about that, because when it comes to getting ready for storms like Hurricane Florence, which is upon us, you know, I don't think people care whether you're Democrats or Republicans. They want to know what you can do to bring relief to them. And, you know, I have to work with Republicans and Democrats, and we've got some pretty powerful South Carolinians all through the federal government. So I'm really happy about that. I know how to contact them. I was contacted by Lindsey Graham's office actually yesterday. I had that nice conversation with Congressman Norman yesterday. And, you know, we're ready, and we have very important people in the federal government, appointed people and also elected people.
Well, the beauty is you've got the contacts so that if these entrenched career bureaucrats, as I'm going to call them, don't do what needs to get done, you have an 800 number to call Ralph Norman or Lindsey Graham or whatever and say, this is not happening the way it's supposed to be, right. And that's how things get done.
We've done that recently with the Army Corps of Engineers. Our city manager had tried to reach out to them about a matter in York, and so it was going through the bureaucracy, and Congressman Norman got involved in it, and it kind of speeded up. And they don't teach you that in American government class, but that's the way American government operates.
Yeah, it's not what you know, but who you know,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
All right, Mayor, so tomorrow, your day is going to consist of what? You're going to wake up in the morning, and I guess first thing you're going to do is stick your head out the window to see if we still have a street.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do, I probably will wake up in the darkness, and I'll get a call from the city manager, and she'll call me, Lisa Wallace will call me, and she'll tell me how our folks did, if there were any real problems, and she'll tell me how the police are responding and how the first responders are doing their jobs, and she'll tell me, you know, how those public works people are, and she'll let me know if there are any areas that are flooding. We only have, thankfully, a couple of areas in the city of York that do flood, but, you know, a couple of areas. So she'll give me a briefing, and that's what she's done, you know, every day during her time with us, 2 years with us, is she lets me know every day how we're doing as a city. She'll certainly do that in the morning, and then we'll respond accordingly. And, you know, we will, if we need to, rescue people.
Yeah.
We have a boat that we purchased back in 2002, and we patched it up, and we're ready to go into neighborhoods if we need to evacuate people.
Well, of course, according to these weather reports, and again, looking at the one you just got from Duke Energy before we came over here, the brunt of this apparently is not going to be upon us until sometime tomorrow afternoon. And then when it comes, look out, because that's where it's going to kind of sit on top of us and drop all of this moisture, and who knows how much that'll be. And I guess that's when you will kick into high gear.
Yeah. We'll be talking about it before then. We've been talking about it for a week and a half.
Yeah.
So you prepare. It's always good to be prepared. And so we're prepared for it, and we'll respond and react, and hopefully we're able to react to just about everything with those contacts that we talked about a few minutes ago,
right.
And also just with people who are resilient people, as all York County people are.
Well, Mayor, thank you for being with us today. Thanks for everything that you do, not only as mayor, but over there at the hallowed halls of Winthrop University.
Well, and I'll be thinking about everybody in York County, and I'm sure you and Sheila will too.
And we'll have you, I'm sure, on the air this weekend by your cell phone to find out what's going on.
Thank you. Good to see
you.
All
right. Thank you. And that's our York Mayor, Eddie Lee, with us today here on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. And we do it the right way, the only way, slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Have yourself a nice weekend. Keep your radio on, because we're going to have all the weather updates throughout the course of Saturday and Sunday to give you all the information you need to have. Have a wonderful wet weekend, and we'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.